Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
13 caps on the Irish women's international soccer team, 13 caps on the Irish women's international rugby team, the first woman of colour on both. Jackie McCarthy O'Brien was breaking barriers the moment she moved back to Limerick with her mother when she was just 2 months old. Her story, her achievements, her highs, her lows are now chronicled in her new book. And she spoke about that prospective memoir with Megan Scully for On Off the Ball earlier this year.
So I spoke to Bonnie Books, who seemed to understand.
Yeah.
I didn't want a sports book. I didn't want an industrial school book. I didn't want a black book. And I didn't want, you know, an LGB.
Well, the book is called We Made It, Kid, subtitled Living Life in Full Colour. And the woman herself, Jackie McCarthy O'Brien, is with me now. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Finally, lovely to meet you.
We'll talk about that in a moment. But what kind of a book is it if it's not all of those things?
So it's a book about resilience. It's a book, when you read it, it's the knockdowns and the getting back up. And I suppose for me, it's looking back at all those moments when I thought, oh, what's life about? Why me? Why am I keep getting kicked down? And then when you look back at it, it was like, wow, I just kept getting back up, one foot in front of the other. I suppose for some people out there that find it hard to get back up, it just lets them know, no matter who you are, I'm just an ordinary Joe Soap, but I just keep getting back up.
Now, you and I might have been talking about some of the ups years ago.
Yes, it's funny enough. When I started playing rugby at the age of 33, I'd done an interview because I was the first woman of colour to play. And they thought it was very interesting at the age of 33 to start playing a sport internationally. So the interview went well, but I happened to tell my teammates about this. So, of course, in Limerick, there's an awful lot of banter and ribbon about it. And it was, go away, you. So the next morning, when I was doing my work as a cleaner, as I was at the time, phone calls from the Pat Kenny Show started to come in. And I said to the guy that owned the bar where I was working, take no notice. It's just the girls having a bit of banter and whatever. Take no notice. Not Pat Kenny. What would he want to talk to me for? So this went on. 3 phone calls later, the president of the rugby club that I was playing for said, for God's sake, will you answer the phone? Pat Kenny's trying to get you. So we went on eventually and done the interview
at the time. Because you did make history at the time. I mean, very unusual.
Yeah.
First of all, you would have been the very first woman of colour to be playing rugby at that level, maybe at all.
Yes.
And also, when you start playing a sport at the age of 33, it's quite phenomenal. We'll come to the reasons for all of that in a moment.
Yeah.
But when you talk about resilience, I mean, your origins are so tough to begin with, because your mother was Irish, of course, emigrated like many others. And then?
Yeah, and then, you know, like back in them days, you went into a halfway home if you weren't married, which Mom did in Birmingham.
But she had a romance in Birmingham.
She did, yes. As back in the 60s, of course, as you know, the no blacks, no Irish, no dogs, and the West Indies and Jamaicans mixed with the Irish, because we were all lumped into the same category, you know, not wanted. So I suppose Mom was no different, met a Jamaican guy, had a romance, but as a lot of us found out, the Jamaican dad doesn't stick around. So he didn't. So Mam decided to come back to Limerick. She thought it would be the best place to rear me.
Now, she was a bit scared because she let the family know that she was coming home.
Yes.
And would they be there waiting for her or not? Would they ostracise her because you were a baby of colour?
Yes.
And I think rather unique in Limerick of the time.
Oh, definitely. You know, I growing up, I was one of only four, and we didn't meet one another until I was 12 or 13. So to bring this little bungle back, people would be staring and whatever, but I always think how brave Mom was to come back. Thankfully, my granddad was there to meet her off the train, and he walked proudly down O'Connell Street with me. But sadly, you know, 2 months into that, the powers that be, as I said, the priests and the nuns, came knocking at the door. At 2 months old, I was taken from her arms and put into an industrial school because I was a child of colour and I was illegitimate. And I wasn't going to be allowed, or Mom wasn't going to be allowed to walk around with this
child. It's extraordinary that they should rip a child from the arms of its mother, but that's what they did. It was the time, I suppose, that we lived through. You went to an industrial school, but you had a regular visitor who came to see you.
Yes, look, on Saturdays.
Because you were a baby when you went to the industrial school.
I was a two-month-old baby going in.
No memories, of course, of your mum.
None at all. This woman used to come on Saturdays. And Saturdays were brilliant in the industrial school because the nuns and the priests were on their best behaviour because family were around. So you were dreading your name being called when you were out playing and getting that bit of freedom. And then they'd say, Jacqueline O'Halloran, which was my mother's maiden name. And I knew this woman with the sad eyes was coming to visit, but I had no idea who she was because she was told, don't upset the child by telling her you're the mother.
So here she was, devoted to you, but you couldn't know that.
No, and I didn't like her coming because she took that quality time from me. You know, in hindsight, looking back, I see my poor mom sitting there, you know, how are you, Jacqueline? And I'm like, just a shy kid, just wanting to get it over with. And that was kind of hard looking back on the memories, more so for my mom and what she must have gone through, you know, seeing her little girl in a place like that and literally not being able to get me back.
Now, the regime in there was tough. I mean, even when you got a present for a birthday or whatever, in your case, a Christmas present, they would take it from you and you'd have to give it to a less fortunate child.
Yeah, if there was such a thing, because it was a cruel place. There was no love. We were all bedwetters. You got no breakfast if you wet the bed.
Now, there's a great story in your book about you and one of your pals. You're only four years old, but the two of you are bedwetters.
Yeah.
So you come up with a solution where you got breakfast on one day anyway.
Yes, we slept in one another's bed and wet one bed. So there was one dry and one wet, and we would take our turns in going down and having breakfast.
So you'd be there, the two of you having wet the bed, but there was one dry bed, and whoever's bed that was got breakfast.
Got breakfast.
And you were standing at the wall.
You stand at the wall with the bowl on your head and woe betide if it fell off.
Watching your pal eating breakfast, and the next day she'd be watching you eating breakfast.
Exactly, because everything was treats and rewards around food. To this day, I eat one meal a day.
My goodness.
Yeah, never a breakfast because I wasn't used to it.
Now, if these were the down times, the up times began, your mother managed to get you out.
Yeah, I came out for one Christmas and Mom was crying. And at this stage, she had married Mickey O'Brien, my hero.
Your stepdad.
My stepdad. And my little sister was born, Jean. And I remember the day I came in to this house in the shadows of Thomond Park and I was terrified. I did not want to be. These were strangers to me, you know, and I just wanted to go back home.
Because home was the...
Home was the mount.
Yeah.
I knew nothing else. But there were kind people. I liked them. But I just wanted to go home. I did not want to be there. And I suppose that went on, Pat, for 2 years. Mom cried when she was supposed to bring me back and Dad said, she's going nowhere. Leave her there. Let him come and knock at the door. They're not getting her back.
They're not getting her back.
And that was it.
But there was a turning point for you, and that was when the next baby arrived.
My little baby brother, Gert. Yes, I idolised him. And it was like one of those moments that somebody needed me, I felt, because Mom had given a lady a half crown when I went into the mount, when she'd come up for her first visit, and she paid the lady a half crown and said, please look after my baby. And the funny thing is, the song that was number one the day I was born was Bobby V, Take Good Care of My Baby.
Take Good Care of My Baby.
You know, and it's kind of funny when you look back in it. But yeah, my little baby brother, Jarrett, was born. And I, movies got into my room. And that kind of gave me a sense of belonging. I had somebody to look after as well.
Now, it wasn't that even when you got out of there and you went to regular school that your troubles were over, because there's one incident in the book where the nun is drawing pictures of the class on the blackboard and you are the odd one out.
Yeah. She gets the white chalk and starts making dots to represent each child in the class and then goes over it with purple and goes, "That's you, Blackie O'Brien. This is where your father come up the Shannon in a banana boat." And I haven't a clue what she's
And that's what
about.
They do. They impregnate our Irish girls.
Yes. Oh. And that was it. And I was like, what is she talking about? You know, but I remember being terrified not to tell Dad because he was my hero. Mm-hmm. Nobody could use the word black around him or anything. He was there. And I thought, if he finds out what she's done, he'll come up and...
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/football. Fuel Points TC.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
There'll be hell to pay.
Now, you mentioned earlier there were only four black kids in Limerick at the time.
Yes.
And you hadn't met them. But this one day, you're working in the shop because you had a shop. And you are working down behind the counter. And then you raise your head and suddenly you start to scream. Why?
Yeah. Well, Davy Nolan and Joey O'Donnell, we all got to know one another later on. But I had never seen another person that looked like me. They screamed. Two black kids from the north side of town had come for a handball tournament. So they were in my side of town. I'm under the counter getting Mars bars and Coke in our shop. Come up and imagine to see two people of colour. It was like, wow. And all three of us jumped at the same time because they were... There's another one of us. And me, it was like, I'm not on my own. There's more people that look like me. Hang on a minute. What's happening?
Now, you mentioned several times already that your dad was your hero, and he was. But he was the one who, whereas your mother would like to have been to be a more girly girl.
Yes.
He was very happy you were a tomboy and introduced to sport. And that became your life.
I think, Pat, he was a man ahead of his time. He knew what it was going to be like for a child of colour growing up in Limerick. I was going to be the oddity, the only one at everything I'd done, my communion, my confirmation, my school, you know, and he noticed very early on that I was a good athlete. I used to run. And, you know, one day when I was in Shelburne Park, a ball came my way and I kicked it back. And the guy there just happened to be starting a ladies team. And he brought me up to Mam and Dad and said, "Listen, your daughter is a good old soccer player. Do you know, would you be okay if I sign her up?" And I remember Dad kind of looking at me with that smile on his face because he was an athlete himself. And it was like a penny drop moment for him. Hang on a minute. I found something for her. If she's a good sports person, Limerick will take her to their heart and look after her. And that was when he would say to my mum, "Presh, stop.
Because her name was Precious.
Precious. Yeah. Stop getting her to, you know, go in the pink dresses. She doesn't want to do it. Put on your shorts and your boots and go out and kick a ball."
Now, just as an aside, your name was Precious, your mother's name.
Yeah.
But not, it sounds like an African name. And people, if you said to someone, "My mum's name is Precious," they'd presume she was black.
Yes, yes.
Where did the Precious actually come from?
Well, we don't know where it came from, to be honest with you, Pat. And like,
wasn't there a sister Precious?
Oh, there was a nun who was Precious Imelda, when we always called her Sister Imelda. It was only later on we found out she was Precious Imelda. But the funny thing was, like, when Dad and Mum, he'd always say Presh. And we thought it was a term of endearment, as in my precious wife.
Yeah.
So when Mom passed away and we went to get her death certificate, her sisters and brothers used to call her Pat or Patricia. So we said, Patricia O'Halloran, Patricia O'Halloran O'Brien. And they said, was she known as anything else? And we said, that used to call her Precious, a term of endearment. And when they brought the cert, we saw she was actually christened Precious. And I, like, there was a movie called Precious, and it is a very black name. And I thought, God only knows where they got the name from, but, you know, it's a beautiful name, and she was my precious mother.
There's so many instances in the book where your dad kind of built the resilience for you, even though it didn't suit you sometimes.
No.
For instance, when in playing for your team, the bus didn't turn up.
Yes.
And your dad could not forgive that and insisted that you leave that club, even though all your pals were there, and join another club.
Broke my heart, Pat. I still remember it. You know, coming up the next morning when the bus hadn't turned up, I was left sitting there, and his words still resonate in my head. Don't look up and don't look down. You're not above and you're not below anybody. And if they don't care enough to think about you and come and pick you up, then no. That's it.
Now, we can fast forward to a fantastic career in soccer, and you reach the highest levels.
Yes, I have to say, many people say to me, oh my God, your love of sport. But Pat, that's not true. I feel fake in that regards. Me playing for Ireland was more about my visibility of a person of colour. In that green jersey, you could not take my Irishness away from me. Wearing that, singing our On the Vian in front of that flag, the people are there to see the Irish team playing, which I'm part of. So for that 90 minutes, I'm Irish, and there's no taking it away from me. That's what it was about for me.
As I say, the highest levels.
Yeah, yes.
And then you discover rugby. How did that happen?
Well, purely by chance again, went out to coach a team in fitness. Another coach turned up. He said, sure, look at the height of you. Fall in there. You know, I fell in. This was on a Thursday night. By the end of the training session, he had me signed. And that Sunday, I played my first match. No idea the rules, anything else like that. But I was hooked immediately. As I said, I grew up in the shadows of Thomond Park. I've always wanted to play there. So here I was playing the sport and hoping and hoping. And I made the Munster team 6 months after starting and then got the opportunity to play for Ireland. And I remember the manager at the time, Des Byrne, said, what's your ambition? And the World Cup was coming up, and most of my teammates were to make the World Cup squad and to do this and do that. And when it came to me, I said, all I want to do is play in Thomond Park at least once. And my very last match, I got to play with Shannon Rugby Club. We won the All-Ireland League, and I was coming up on 40. And I remember thinking, that's it. I've done it all. I'm happy. I've achieved World Cup, European, and now here I am.
But of course, you had to find something to do afterwards. I mean, what do you do with your life? You're 40. All you've really loved and done is sport. Mm. And then a new direction, please.
Yeah, I suppose I went off and I started, you know, the typical woman thing to do, painter and decorator. Started a new business, called it Black and White Painters and Decorators.
And that's because your partner in the business, she was white and you were black.
Yeah, and they used to see the sign on the side of the van if somebody pulled up, and they'd see Caroline first and then they'd see me, and you could see the roars of laughter and them tipping the person alongside them. Look, 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 one is actually black and one is white. And I suppose the thing is not to take yourself too serious. And I think we got too politically correct in certain ways. I have no problem with somebody saying, yeah, oh, you're black. You know, it's only if they say, well, you're black and you're less than me. That's where it comes in, you know.
Now, one of the other challenges in life was coming to terms with your own sexuality. And you did marry and have a family and all of that. So part of coming out is coming out to yourself first, coming out to your children.
Yeah.
Which must have been a bit of a challenge.
Well, not really for me, Pat, because growing up in the sport, my children grew up in the sport for a lot of times. I had to bring them to Dublin with me. My manager at the time, Linda O'Gorman, was absolutely brilliant when my marriage broke up. Bring the kids with you. Just because you have children doesn't mean you can't play for Ireland, which I'm eternally grateful for. But within that, in the sport, it draws a lot of people, you know, like-minded people. So there was a lot of gay people there, and it became a norm for my children to be around people. And for them, it was that Mary loved Teresa, you know, and it was just an everyday thing. So that when my marriage broke up, the next person I fell in love with was a woman. And thanks to being around people, I saw it's just love. It's not sex, it's love, it's who you love. And if you're lucky enough to find somebody that wants to love you and you love them back, why not embrace them? I fought enough about my colour, so I wasn't going to deprive myself or leave my sexuality to define who I was as a person. But I also brought my children up in an environment where I taught them, you are enough and you're free to love whoever you want to love. So it just became, there was no big coming out or anything like that for me.
And as I read the book, I realised that it wasn't just a simple happy ending. There were, you had a rocky road in romance as well.
Yes.
I presume you're in a good place with, is it number three now? Maybe more, I don't know.
The beautiful is me. I was lucky enough to, you know, start on TikTok to tell little stories, and the people that started to follow me, my story resonated with them, whether it's black and Irish, whether it was LGBTQ+, you know, and it was little by little people going, please, Jackie, write a book, write a book, write a book. And within this, the lovely Ismay came into my life and she was, I would love to get your book when you do write it. Please write it. And if you're ever in New York, you know, I'll host you. And we got talking, we exchanged numbers and got talking. And gradually I found, oh my God, I'm talking to this woman more and more. And there's a time difference, of course, but I couldn't wait for her to get home from work. And I suddenly realised, but I invited her to Ireland. And when those doors opened at Shannon Airport, I was already in love because she's a wonderful lady. And it's like a full circle moment. I finally found somebody that loves me in spite of all my broken parts. And I have lots of them. But as I always say, your broken parts is where the light shines through. And I'd like to think if somebody reads this book, they'll see me keep getting up for things that happen to everybody in life. Maybe I've had a little bit more than most. Yeah. But at the end of the day, Mom and Dad brought me up to just get on with my life, as us Irish people do, and just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
It's a book that's full of joy, but also full of sadness from time to time. And people will shed tears, I suspect, as I did reading the book. But it's an absolutely wonderful book. I was just wondering, in the context of what's going on in our society generally now, and you being a pioneering woman of colour, what your reflection is on the way, you know, public attitudes are hardening a bit towards people who are of colour, and whether you've ever experienced anything like that.
Well, Pat, I would have said in the early days, it was curiosity and ignorance of not knowing. We didn't have television back in the 60s, and to see somebody of colour walking down the street was a curiosity. Now we have social media. Everybody knows, you know, that black people are no different from white. It really saddens me to see, because I think as you read the book, you'll see I'm Limerick out and out, and Ireland is my heartbeat. Take me out of Ireland and I would wither away. But to see my beautiful country, to, you know, put it, for once, I'm actually like a stranger in my own country until I open my mouth and you hear my accent. Yeah. You know, it's go back to your own country. This is my country. My grandchildren are growing up in this. And I'm a bit fearful that there's a rhetoric being put out there and making it about immigration and migration. And then we see, if you're a person of colour, you can't be Irish. Yeah. My God, we're out there representing this country, Rashid Akilecki, our boxers, our football players are of colour. They're as Irish as brown bread. And we need to embrace and remember, Ireland is not a white country anymore. And people that come in here bring more to us and make us a much more beautiful people if we embrace it. We have gone all to the four corners of the world and been welcomed, sometimes not as much, but we've made other countries our home and spread Ireland. There isn't a person that you'll meet anywhere in the world that doesn't want to come to Ireland. And it's sad to think if they came now, they're just seen as migrants. We've got to do a little bit better. And I think Imelda May does it so well. You can't be Irish and racist. We need to remember, you throw a stone or a stick at somebody, they're related to us because we've gone to the four corners of the earth. We could be hitting one of our own, you know?
Well, the book is called We Made It, Kid, and So You Did.
A very limerick saying, by the way.
It's subtitled Living Life in Full Colour, and its author, Jackie McCarthy O'Brien. Jackie, thank you very much for joining me in studio today.
A pleasure, Pat. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.